Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on KQMS 1400. Phone lines here, 221-1402. And we have a busy show today on the 2nd of February, 2009. A sunny, warm day, which is really going to cost us later on this year. Joined today, of course, by Kelly Frost, Jr.
Good morning.
Bad time in Berkeley, huh?
I'm just excited to be a Jeffersonian.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know what? We need to be Jeffersonians. Mm-hmm. And, of course, soulmate.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. Great to be here. It's a great Monday, and we super bowled out. I don't know how many people woke up this morning feeling slugs, like slugs after eating and drinking and watching that game. What an exciting game, huh?
It was a good game. Good game. You know what? I knew, though, when they Phoenix scored, it was too much time left. Too much time was left in the game.
But we screamed a lot. Hey, by the way, here we are in February. It's our second month on the show, and we've got people who have really wanted to come on board and advertise with us. So we're going to start off with Home Helpers, who is one of the great opportunities in town. They have over 60 wonderful caregivers on staff. It's a place where if you're looking for somebody who can take care of older patients or recovering patients in their homes, Home Care Helpers is a place to go. 226-8350.
Okay. Hey, I understand that there's our guest today, Dave Lanford from the Shasta County Veterans. He's our veterans rep, and we're going to get to him right after our break at 10 after. But, you know, there's a couple things that have happened in the news. You know, we get lots and lots of emails from people sending us things. If you have not gone to our website, freefireradio.com, do that. Go look on the, in my opinion, or the blog thing. People send us links, and I try to put a link on there every so often in the it's an interesting part about this stimulus or this pork bill that they're trying to push through Congress right now. Looks like it's in danger of dying, as it should. Even the Democrats are voting against it. You've got hundreds of economists in this country are signing on these things that say this is bad. Anyway, but we've got happier news, though.
Well, Dave, you've been, you know, this is on a personal note, you've been married a long time, right?
18 years now.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
18 years. Well, a quick thing that we found on Dating 101, 5 things super happy couples do. We're going to do this before the break because you need to think about this. The first day of February, Valentine's month, lover's month, what to do to keep your relationship open. Number one, talk to each other. Okay. I mean, not talk at each other. So that means like gabbing 101, like feeling adults. Let's talk about, you know, just how are you feeling? Let's talk. So talking is important. Number two, flirt. I don't know about you guys, but I think flirting is just like the best.
That's not like me chasing a puppy through the house, running naked through the house, chasing a puppy this morning.
No, it's kind of like
that wasn't flirting.
Like eating chocolate cake after eating chocolate cake 5 days a week. You know, it doesn't taste that great. But
are we talking about flirting with our spouses, or are we talking about just flirting?
Flirting with your spouses.
Oh, okay. No. Hey, this is all spouses here.
Well, you can be a flirt in a flirtatious, you know, of life. But I mean, if you had chocolate cake every day, after a while, but if you talk about it, by the time the fifth day comes around, that cake tastes pretty good. Get stupid together. Number three.
We've got a corner on that one.
Just be goofy. Do something goofy. Who cares? Number four, declare your independence. That means, you know, this is my space, my time, my hobby, my ride.
Doesn't mean that you are not spending a lot of time together. It just means you need some time.
You got to give your man space.
And your woman.
You got to give your woman space. Yeah. And number five, share a spiritual moment. They say that people who are pray together have a real sense of selflessness and humility.
It's like 75% of the people that pray together are happy, as opposed to 59% that don't. Hey, look, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio and News Talk KQMS 1400. Phone line's here, 221-1402. Our guest is Dave Lanford. We're going to be talking about things that affect our veterans. And there's so many of those, especially in today's economy. Join us on the other side.
Searchlight.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of our show is brought to you by Robert W. Logan, attorney at law on 1350 Placer Street. Rob takes all types of cases, civil and criminal. He's the man to go to. He's somebody that's going to fight for you. Rob's got the experience. I know Rob. I trust Rob. Anyway, okay, now, besides Dave being on today on our show.
Mr. Dave Langford.
Langford, yes, and is going to be, Doug LaMoffa said he's going to be calling in later on in the show after the piece that you might have seen in the Record Searchlight yesterday. But Dave, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Carl. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here.
You know, one of the things that we started with to have Dave here was when I got an email from one of our listeners saying is how, who's a TRICARE recipient, retired Navy veteran of 23 years. At age 65, and tell me when I'm starting to go off the path here, Dave. At age 65, TRICARE switches automatically to Medicare.
His primary care now becomes Medicare if he signed up for Part B, and TRICARE becomes a secondary payment, and it's called TRICARE for life.
Right. Now, unfortunately, though, many of our people, many of our physicians are not taking Medicare now. They're making people pay up front. And this is what he brought to our attention was all of a sudden now he has a $200 payment where before it was taken care of by Medicare.
This is the first that I've heard this, Carl. So this is brand new stuff, and we may need to do a little bit of research on this and to determine, you know, how extensive this problem might be. So what I've done is I've downloaded from the Medicare site roughly about 28 Medicare providers, certified providers within Shasta County. So at some point, if we've got any volunteers out there that may want to help with this, we begin to do hard calling to these doctors to find out, one, if they are accepting Medicare or still accepting Medicare patients, and two, what about that TRICARE as a secondary? Are they going to accept that?
Well, you know, one of the things, now, I've been having a dialogue with this with the veteran that wrote to me, and he's got time to pursue it. And I tell you what, he is a tenacious type of fellow, Mike is. And what Mike has done is he's gone on to, and, you know, he has had Medicare say, okay, you know, we will pay you back, except this, you know, falls under your deductible, so we're not going to pay you. Then TRICARE, he goes to TRICARE. TRICARE says, okay, we'll pay the deductible. He is going through literally hoops to try and get this kind of stuff done. So he went down even to try and find a new primary care manager. And it appears that the closest one now is Sacramento. So you can't even get into that. You know, so I called Senator Boxer, and I called Congressman Herger on this. Senator Boxer's people and Congressman Herger's people were working on this. Boxer's people got back and said, you know what, you know, have him call us. This is a problem, you know, the fact that they're not taking, you know, that you're having to pay for Medicare up front.
Yeah. That is, you know, that's a problem. Ideally, the provider would bill Medicare, turn around, and bill TRICARE. So what I think may be happening is the provider may be deciding in some cases not to bill TRICARE. So that means the veteran or the retiree now has to do their own billing. They become their own billing agency.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? This is what's really starting to tick me off. And anyway, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
You're up, Jim.
Oh, thank you. Hey, this is not quite on the subject, but I'd like to know how many veterans we have in Shasta County. How we account for them. I know I talk to veterans, they are not aware of the VA. They're not aware of. I just wonder if there's some way we're keeping track, or do we really know? Does anybody know how many veterans there are in Shasta County?
Great question, Jim. Yes, we have an account of veterans in Shasta County. Is it accurate? Not sure. We have to probably examine how those numbers are come by. But Shasta County has roughly 19,209 veterans, and these numbers come from the California Department of Veterans Affairs, who get the numbers from the VA, who get the numbers from the census people. So somewhere along the line, the census people and the VA are working to provide those numbers. I think the important question here is what data are they using to collect information on veterans? And if you research this thing and go deep into the system, you'll find that somewhere along the line there's a survey sent out, and that's what the information tells us. However, I've never received a survey. Carl, have you ever received a survey?
No, I never have.
Me either. And it looks like to me we go from one census to another, and we're letting people, especially from the Gulf War and war in Iraq, fall through the cracks at times, not to anybody in this area's fault, but just in general. And somebody, the Veterans Administration, somebody should, through discharges and so forth, let the counties and the state know, because some of these people, as I say, they have no more idea and fly that there's a VA, there's a VA clinic, or they have recourse to take care of some of their problems.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, we're going to have to take a break, but that's really a good point because we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Great.
So
thank you.
You bet, Jim. All right, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Those are huge problems that we're facing, is who's falling through the crack. We're going to talk about that one as soon as we get back.
It's 41 degrees, 821. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS. By the way, go to our website. There's two, kqms.com. You can stream us live wherever you are. And freefireradio.com, all the archives of the show. Plus, I want to talk to you about a photographer that we're really behind. They did our wedding, Dan and Julia. New Image Studio Photography at 2655 Park Marina Drive. Now, if you're trying to figure out, okay, we're going to do this really special on Valentine's. You know, guys, I know there's a lot of pressure, but what they're doing, they're going on Vintner Cellar. You can go in on February 13th, actually, and the 14th, and they're going to be taking pictures right there on the spot and printing so they you could take home a portrait and put it on a wine bottle and take it home that night. What a special thing to do. Anyway, New Image Studio Photography, Dana Julia, place to go. Now let's get back into our veteran conversation.
Okay, Dave, what about the numbers you were talking about?
Well, first of all, I want to let the audience know that Pete Stiglitz through Jim Nielsen, they're working on population numbers for the state of California right now, and we just believe that the method for gathering the information needs some work. If you go to various different sources, you're going to find that there's going to be a different number for Shasta County. It ranges from 16,000 up to 20,000. So nobody, I don't think, really knows how many veterans we have in Shasta County. So in comes 9/11.
Right.
9/11 changed a lot of things. It changed it for the VA, and the VA is slowly moving to catch up with those. So the numbers that VA had published, in other words, they had forecasted that we would have a decline in veterans by 2020 down to somewhere around 12,000. I think that's way out of line. I think that the numbers are going to move in the other direction. The population of Shasta County is increasing. It's just logical to think that the veterans are going to increase right along with the general population. What's important about this is that the VA, and to a small extent the state of California, uses population models to determine services. And so these numbers have to be, you know, accurate if we're going to get the services up here that we deserve.
Well, like right now, the VA clinic is seeing so many people, and they're trying to expand. I mean, they're going to be going into trailers out there parked behind in the parking lot so they can get a CAT scanner. Finally, a CAT scanner, not MRI, but a CAT scan machine. And then, but also, you know, if you turn, you know, we've had many, many young veterans on our show, and just like you said, and this is another place that people retire to. Plus, it's a patriotic part of the state, so a lot of our young men and women go into service and then come back home afterwards. So that number has to go up. So to be able to get money, to be able to get the services, you need to have a good count on this. Now, the other thing, too, is isn't there something like called a VA center?
You're talking about the vet center.
And vet center, that's an important thing.
Well, that's part of the impetus for this whole thing, is that, you know, even though Reading is on a list of some sort to get a vet center, we're not on a priority list because we haven't demonstrated that we have 25,000 veterans up in Shasta County. That's what they're telling me. So,
How does Chico get one?
That's a good question, and that's a question that the VA, you know, the VA Health Administration can't answer. Remember, vet centers are kind of funded separately. So that's a great question. I don't have the answer to that. In fact, even the director of the VA, Northern California Healthcare System, he scratched his head on that one. How did Chico end up? Because Chico has about 20,000 veterans themselves. And as far as we know, they don't hit the 25,000 model.
Yeah.
We can talk about the other population model for retirees, too. This will get you going, too. But
okay. We've got... well, you know what? The thing is, you know, if you don't know Dave is office is... Where's your location, Dave?
2625 Breslauer Way, cottage number 4. That's down in the Breslauer Complex off of Highway 273.
Let me tell you, we've got like 15 or 20 seconds here. I have never met a man that cares more for what he's doing than Dave. He has helped the veterans of this county so many times in so many ways. He cares about the veterans. Not one time have I ever seen anybody go down there and not be helped by you, Dave. You are an outstanding man.
And always accessible.
Always. Always accessible.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, look, this is Carl and Abad here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Going to take a hard break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some more with Dave. And we've also got Doug Lamoff calling in about the Record Searchlight article. Join us on the other side.
Well, if you're just tuning in, it is Carl and Linda Bott. We're here with our special guest, Dave Langford. I'm sorry. You know, this morning I've had just about a half a cup of coffee, but I think I'm just a little strung out from the game yesterday. Yeah. Anyway, Free Fire Radio, this is KQMS 1400. Brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Listen, Valentine's Day is coming up. Anything you need? Going to make a deal for you right there, right across from C.R. Gibbs. It's our jeweler of choice. Now, let's get back into...
Dave. Dave, okay, now, we're talking, the serious thing is about numbers, but can you just kind of give some of the things that, some of the services that you provide to our veterans that maybe some people don't know about?
Okay. Well, first of all, I kind of divide things in priorities for what we do. And so our number one priority is helping that veteran who walks through the door, his dependent, that's eligible for our services. That's where we focus. So if a veteran comes in, wants to file a claim for a disability or maybe entitled to a pension or any number of services that we would provide to them, they are immediate attention. We help veterans with vocational rehabilitation. We help them we'll help them do the applications for medical benefits. And remember our Iraqi and Afghan war vets coming back, they get a free sign up for several years with the VA clinic, whether their service
5 years.
Or not.
Yeah. It was 3 years and they changed it to five years.
Five, that's correct.
And I can tell you, Dave was such a great assistance when I came back, to fill out the paperwork, because I tell you, it can be a burden. You know, it is burdensome, and you all took care of that for us.
I want to mention too, I've got a staff of a total of 4 people, full-time employees, and Carl, I can't do all this by myself. So, I got to give due credit to my staff and my clerk. My clerk is worth her weight in gold. She just keeps us all.
She is great.
Yeah.
Always smiling when you come in there.
Yep. And my vet reps are all working hard. Everybody's working really hard to help the veterans and bring the services. But, we have people come in and talk to us about, medical billing problems, and we try to steer them in the right direction. If it's a service that we don't provide, we're going to try to move them in the correct direction so they can get some help.
Now, one of the big things that has been in the paper lately is people getting this abatement process for being kicked out of their out of their homes for non-payment of utilities. Now, from what I understand, you have helped people with this, our veterans, with this on this subject, haven't you?
Well, now you got me a little bit. I think I emailed you an email on that,
right?
Did I not?
Yeah. That's why I brought it up. I'm sorry. What it was the fact is that if we have a veteran that's having this problem, that there's organizations that you get him to, he or she to, that can help them out.
I remember now what it was.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Through the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, we have in the past, when we have a veteran who is, they're down and out. The last time we did this was up in Burney. And we verified and validated through social services and a couple of avenues that if the veteran didn't get his heat turned on, or the power utility turned on, that he was going to be in serious problems or serious hardship. So we were able to raise a little bit of money and keep his power on for a couple of months. And but that was the veterans helping veterans, and that's very important. And
but that's what happens. But you become a focal point on a lot of this. There's so many veterans organizations out there. Last count I had was like 50 in Shasta County.
There's a large number, you bet.
And so that the fact is that in today's economy, being the way it is and the things that are going on, you know, we've got to kind of take care of each other, you know, not just veterans but our fellow citizens out here, you know, as much as we can. So, okay, now there's other programs, too, that we just talked about this morning. And one of them was a friend of ours, father, who was a veteran but not a retired. And he has suffering from Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And the VA can help him with that, or people with that, can't they?
The VA has a program called Non-Service Connected Pension, and there is an allowance that goes along with that called Aid in Attendance. Now, there's been a lot of miscommunication about this program. This is not a brand new program. This has been around for pretty much forever. And for the widow, it's called death pension. We kind of like to call that widow's pension. And this is a war-era veteran program. So if you're not war-era, and I don't have all those numbers with me right now, but if you're not a war-era, you wouldn't be entitled to it. This is very similar to supplemental security income, only it's payment through the VA. So, yes, there's help. And so, you know, a phenomenon that's occurring up here right now in Shasta is that, you know, we have a senior population, and you've alluded to that. And many of the seniors are veterans, and they're World War II veterans. So we have quite a large number of claims that we're processing now for not only widows, but for the veteran as well under the pension program. So oftentimes we can the VA can reduce the income of the veteran by his out-of-pocket medical expenses to include the cost of that in-home care, the cost of the assisted living, the cost of the nursing home, whatever it might be, and that can be a substantial amount of money.
Absolutely.
As you can imagine, upwards of $5,000 a month. So anyway, we do those claims for the claimant. We will give them some homework, but generally we do all the processing of that for free. And again, our services don't cost the client a dime, not a dime.
George, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fine.
Hey, I got two questions. One question is, on the VA, I am a veteran, and I'm wondering, not myself, I think this VA thing here in town is the best in the world, but there are several pills and medication I can't get through the VA, and they come back and say, well, it's too new, it's not available. And what I'm wondering about is these new guys coming back now, are they going to be told the same thing? Well, we can't get medication because it's too new and we can't afford it? You know, that's a question that I have. And secondly, on this thing that you were just talking about, do you have to be in a war zone to get that, or can you just be in the time zone?
Just the time zone. You don't have to be in the war zone for that program, that non-service connected program. Now, you want to keep in mind that it's very similar to supplemental security income. So it's going to count other income that you have.
Right.
And the listeners need to understand that this is an adjudication process. This is a benefit. It's not an entitlement. So it's going to be judged by the VA whether or not the member is eligible for that. What our office would actually do is we will do our very best to help you calculate and determine your out-of-pocket medical expenses. And, of course, it's a net worth issue, so we have to get into net worth as well. But we'll do everything we can to help you with that program.
And, but the first question about medications, though.
Yes. Well, honestly, that's a really good question to ask Pete Privett, director of the VA, you know, healthcare, the clinic. But my understanding is, yes, you know, the Iraqi war vet, the Afghan vet, he's going to be having the same issue because the VA maintains generic medication. So if a doctor has prescribed something the VA doesn't carry, then they're going to be referred elsewhere. Now, will it be at VA expense? I'm not real sure on that. I just have to go case by case. If he's service-connected for a disability and the VA cannot provide through normal channels the medication, then I think the VA is going to be obligated to pay for that through other channels.
Yeah, you know, I would, but here's what I would do, George, is I'd get a hold of the the people that help you out down at the VA or Pete Privett who heads it up and just, you know, and ask him this question, and they'll be able to tell you how and where they can go, where you can go for this.
Okay.
Hey, thanks a lot, George.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio and KQMS 1400. You know, we're doing a lot of asking and answering a lot of questions here about veterans' issues, and this is what we're about, taking care of our veterans, taking care of the people that have defended us and put their lives on the line.
Our special guest is Dave Langford, and we'll see you on the other line with our other side with lots of questions. Lines are open.
All right.
Welcome back. 45 degrees out. It's 8:45. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Our special guest today has been Dave Langford. Now, I'm sorry I had a G in there.
That's okay.
So let's erase
Linda.
It right now.
That's
forgive
okay.
me. Yeah. Mea culpa. Dave Langford, who, you know what? You have been such a service to our community. We're just so grateful to have you be in charge of the veteran community here. Let's go to the phones. We've got a special caller.
Hey, Don. Come on. You're on.
Oh, good morning, Carl. Dave, I'm looking at a printout from VA Healthcare, and it's the enrollment restriction. Doesn't affect me, but it does Group 8 veterans. It says VA suspending new enrollment of veterans assigned to priority Group 8. That's because of their higher income veterans. Why is that?
Well, you know, that's a great question. Back in, don't take me to court on the dates here, but somewhere around December 2002, the VA implemented a new priority group, and that was Priority Group 8. And then immediately following, 2003 January, boom, they quit enrolling what they call Category Cs, or now, which was the Priority 8 group. And it was a funding matter. They just, I think the VA just couldn't afford to do that. Now, I'm not sure if our current administration is going to reverse all that. I just don't know right at this particular time, but there's already some discussion about doing that.
No.
So if you recall, if you've been here for a while, Don, you remember when the VA clinic was up on
Eureka Way?
Eureka,
yeah.
Remember that? Well, they only serviced the first three priorities as far as I know.
That's where I enrolled.
Correct. That's when you enroll. So they 1 through 3. Well, when they opened up Hartnell, the Clinton administration in the process kind of opened up the floodgates. Mm-hmm. If you were a veteran, you could come on in. And so those that were in are grandfathered in, as far as I understand. They had to, I guess, legislate to stop that flood of people coming in.
Oh.
So I'm thinking that, I just read the paper like everyone else does. My guess is that the new administration may try to reverse some of that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair. A veteran's a veteran, you know.
Well,
even if he makes a little few extra bucks.
That's right. And I think that, I really think that it's important that the VA, even if the veteran can't sign up for services, it's important that they go down and make an attempt to do that, because what'll happen is they'll register their name, and by golly, somewhere along the line, I think that registration is counted as a veteran. And so that impacts the numbers of veterans we have, the population numbers that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So I think the VA is obligated to go ahead and register your name, but they may not provide you any services because your income is too high. So it's over a particular threshold.
But it's, you know, it's a good question, Don. It's something else we need to bring to our congressman, among about six or seven other things. So thanks a lot.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
You
thanks
bet.
A lot.
You bet. And, you know, we have a... We said that Doug LaMoffa was calling in, and we've got him on the other line. You know, Doug LaMoffa was always available to us to ask questions at our assembly and everything. And as many of you know, that he was taking a task, some maybe even somewhat, as he believes, unfairly. But, Doug, good morning.
Hi, Carl. Linda, how are you doing?
Good morning,
hey,
Doug.
You know, we're more than happy to provide this time for you, Doug. And we've got to the end of the show, so go for it.
Yeah, thank you for a few moments. Sorry to take a little time from Dave away there, but... I think it's really important here because some pretty, in my view, salacious things are being said about me and my previous staff in the record searchlight yesterday. And there's been this spate of articles that seem to be trying to turn something up that isn't there. And I really resent it. It's an issue that calls into question my integrity, something I've been working very hard to uphold. My 7 years I've been around the political scene here in Northern California.
Okay, for the people that don't read the Searchlight, and there's millions that don't,
yeah.
what exactly did they say?
They're trying to make a connection between my support of a Del Webb development project down in Tehama County to contributions that were made to a ballot issue down in Glenn County that has to do with the tribal casino. Now, what was going on there was that there was a measure called Measure F that was asking people of Glenn County the question whether they want to have a tribal casino built on off reservation lands. The Prop 5, Prop 1A was passed by people of California to have allow tribes to build casinos on their own lands, but what we were calling reservation shopping, looking for a piece of land somewhere else that has no tribal history, is something that was going on in Glenn County. And so that was a question on the ballot. We were asked to weigh in and take a position on that, and David from my office was helping run that campaign along with several other people that were making that campaign go. And so the paper is trying to draw some kind of connection between a letter of support I wrote for an individual for a development project they have, and somehow that a campaign contribution to a measure over in a different county. Contribution didn't come to me, and didn't go to David, who was running things, David Reed, my former chief of staff. So really, it's like a connecting dots that are so far apart, it's ridiculous. And so we provided information to the reporter at the paper, and I have to say I'm pretty disappointed, because we've had a pretty good rapport with the Searchlight over the time here, and up until very recently, you know, we've interacted well, you know, giving them the straight shot, and they've you know, reported things pretty fairly.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, they're
looking for something. So.
Doug, we're going to have to take a break here, but hang on, and we'll finish this up on the other side. This is Carl Lindebaugh, KQMS 1400, Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl Lindebaugh, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have the finest emporium that you could possibly want for those walk-in humidor, and the best coffee with Espresso Joe's at reasonable prices. Okay, Doug,
we
got like about a minute.
Okay.
Oh, hey, you know what? We did have somebody just call and say, hey, tell Doug that nobody reads it, nobody cares.
Thank you. It does create a possible mail piece for opposition, and election season looks like it's already started. But above and beyond all this,
right?
We've been involved in things that promote jobs, that promote economic development in Northern California. We have multiple letters and multiple instances where we've supported other things. This project happens to be in common with the person that made a donation. I suppose if you're on a board of supervisors, a city council, or a member of the legislature, if people want to draw something you've supported to some sort of a campaign contribution, then nobody would ever do anything. We'd all be anti-growth in politics these days. And so it really is a pretty outrageous extension of trying to make this reach. And a sensational headline doing that makes people question my integrity. And the more important thing than any office I would ever hold or any campaign contribution in that is my family name.
Well, absolutely.
I lost my dad 4 months ago, and that's pretty heavy on my mind. And that honoring him, my family, is more important than any of this other stuff. And so for this paper to be writing this stuff, I think it's irresponsible, and I'm not real happy about it. So if any of you out there listening want to write to me, I'm at doug@douglamalfa.com. That's my email. I'd love to have your comments. And clarify anything going on, because I got nothing to hide here, and I will always do what I can to earn your trust and your respect.
But Doug, you know, like I said, you know, you've always been there. Anytime we needed comments or know what's going on there in the assembly, and you know, I wanted to give you this time so that you could go to the people directly. And we have a lot of listeners out there that pay, you know, that come in every day, and they need to hear both sides. You know, we try to be fair. We try to keep this as balanced as we can, and that's why we wanted to have you on. So thank you so much.
I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
And we're on your side, Doug.
Thank you, Linda. It's nice. You know, it's a tough business we're in here with this, and I understand and appreciate that, but let's keep it on the truth. Let's keep it accurate, and I'm happy to answer any questions anytime about it.
So, all right, Doug. You know. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Dave. Now, there's one last big thing. We're going to have you back on in a couple of weeks to get on with Pete, but what was the major thing we wanted to touch on before we left here?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do as a community of veterans is perhaps reestablish some sort of steering committee or an action committee, if you will, of concerned veteran leaders that are in our area that want to help do the research and put together some good information that we can take to our politicians, to our elected leaders. So I think that's something we probably want to talk about, you know, on a future date.
Yeah, we need to organize the veterans here, because I tell you what, if the veterans ever organized, we'd run this place. That's getting a little bit difficult here. Okay, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here from Free Fire Radio. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing the city council. We're going to be talking about candlelight vigils. We're going to have Valerie Ng in. It's going to be a big day tomorrow. So just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?